Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Help us to realize, oh God, that in this story today, we're given yet another example of a way that we can change the way we think, that we can change the way we do business. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The reading today comes from the second chapter of Luke. Starts with the 41st verse. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up, as they always did, for the feast. When it was over, they left for home. The child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of the pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day. I want you to listen to that again. They journeyed for a whole day before they started looking for him. And then they started looking for him amongst the relatives and neighbors. And when they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. That's another whole day travel back to Jerusalem. The next day, they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him and were impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and they were hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." And Jesus responded, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here doing the things of my Creator?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. I bet he did. His mother held these things dearly deep within herself, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body, spirit, blessed by God and the people. Do you love this story or what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. First of all, this story can't happen today. No, it can't. Number one, you lose sight of your child, and who are you calling? 911. The next thing you know, there's an Amber Alert. Okay? The news media is going to be alerted. Everybody's going to be looking for this missing child. Every sex offender within a 50-mile radius is going to be rounded up. And then when they did find him, somebody from DFACS is going to be on your doorstep saying, "How did you lose this kid? What kind of parents are you that you couldn't keep track of your kid?"
Don't got one.
And even if we get to the point where they find him in a church, has anybody noticed that his answer was not a good answer for a parent who is crazy out of their mind looking for their child? You know, parents are crazy out of their mind looking for their child, and the kid sits there and goes, "What's your problem?" Bam!
Child.
I'm telling you. You know, this back when I was growing up, that kind of answer, you got, and you know, and you got to wonder, what are we not being told in this story? Because Luke makes a point of saying that Jesus went back to Nazareth and he was a good boy. That somewhere along the line, he got the message, "Don't do this again." I like that. And I get how this kind of stuff happens. You know, the first time I ever got into real trouble, some of you know this story, but some of you don't. I was in the 7th grade, maybe the 8th grade, maybe 6th. I don't remember. But I was a huge Cub fan. And I decided that I wanted to go to a Cub game. And, of course, I was cutting grass and doing all this stuff so that, you know, I could have a little extra money in my pocket and go. But my parents worked. Both my parents worked. So they couldn't take me. And the only time I could get to go was when? During the school day. So I faked a note, okay? Faked a note. Have you ever heard that before? Mm-hmm. Faked a note to the school that I had some personal stuff going on or something. I don't know what it was. They bought it. I got an excused absence. We lived in Mundelein, Illinois, which was 5 miles from Libertyville, which is where the train picked up coming out of Milwaukee into Chicago. I hitchhiked into Libertyville, got to the train, bought my ticket, rode the train down to Evanston, which is the bedroom suburb of Chicago, and got off the Northwestern train onto the CTA on the loop, the L, and it took me right to Wrigley Field. Okay? I get off, I buy my ticket. I am in Wrigley Field in the bleachers.
Amen.
Amen.
You're excited.
I am just beyond excited. And I'm sitting there in the bleachers having a good time. It was a beautiful day. The sun is out. And Billy Williams, in about the second or third inning, sweet swinging Billy, hits a home run to left field. I was in the bleachers. Where the ball went was maybe like from, if I'm here, over to where the water fountain is. And like everybody in the bleachers, we take off. There's a fight for the ball. I didn't get it. But it was fun. Got my knees bruised up, my toes stubbed. Watched the rest of the game. Game finishes at 4 o'clock. My mama is not due home from work till 5:30. 4 o'clock. Stepped right outside of Wrigley Field. Got onto the L. The North Line, got on the right train, took it to Evanston, got on the Northwestern train, took it right on into Libertyville, got off the train, hitchhiked back to Mundelein. I'm walking up my driveway, looking at my watch. It is 5 after 5.
Wow, you made good time.
In Chicago, the transportation system works. I had pulled it off.
Yes,
Lord. You dodged it.
When I opened the back door, there was my mother with her shoulder against the door frame with the following question: how was school today, Paul? That was that tone of voice that told you that if you said anything but the truth, you were dead meat.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
What apparently happened is my mother come home from work early that day and decided to do a little laundry. And back in those days, we didn't have permapress. She was ironing clothes, and she was doing what every other housewife in America did, or at least in Chicago, when she was ironing clothes. She was watching the Cub game. And as she's ironing the clothes, when Billy Williams hit that home run and the camera panned out there, she looked up to see the ball go into the bleachers, and she went, "Oh, that looks a lot like Paul."
I thought that would go.
I want you to know that I got my butt warmed. I got grounded what I thought was going to be for a lifetime.
You just got out of being grounded.
It was like 2 weeks. But I thought I wasn't going to be able to ever go out of the house again until I graduated.
How old were you at the time?
I was 6th, 7th grade, something like that. Now, here's the deal on that, right? My parents just gave me hoo-ha. How dangerous it was to hitchhike. How could I go down? How could I not tell them? How could I lie to the school? How could I? Did it sound familiar? Uh-huh. We've been looking all over the place for you. There was no answer that I could give except I wanted to see a Cub game. That was it. That was the best I could do. Now, here's what happened, though. And I suspect when that line in his story says that Mary remembered these things, mm-hmm. that she held on to these things, I suspect that it was kind of the same thing that my parents did. Because by the time I got to college and I would come home and the family would be there, you know, for Christmas, Thanksgiving, all that kind of stuff. And my mother, who absolutely despised some of my aunts because my aunts would brag about their kids and their accomplishments and they had money and we didn't. You know how all that goes. My mother would sit there when they would start with their stuff about their kids. She says, well, you know, we knew Paul was something special. We knew. He always had a lot of guts. Do you know why when he was in the sixth grade, he hitchhiked to Libertyville? He went to a Cub game all by himself, saved all that money. And I'm listening to this, they're making me a hero!
You got your butt warm.
And I walked into the middle of the conversation and I said, what is this? You beat my butt and grounded me.
And they're bragging.
And now you think I'm some kind of national hero. And my mother looked at me and she says, time changes everything.
This is true.
And that, my friends, is really what this story is about.
Wow.
We've got it at the beginning. And we're getting a little hint of where Jesus' mind was at. And the other key phrase in there is his parents, when he gave the answer, didn't understand him. And I remember when my father said to me, when he asked me why I did what I did, and I said, I just wanted to see the Cubs play. He said, what kind of answer is that? I don't understand that. And what it is parents, we don't, when we get caught up in somebody's safety or whatever, we don't understand how they're thinking. So the second lesson in here is, folks, that when you focus on your relationship with God, there's going to be a lot of people that don't understand how you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to understand why you won't take that extra dollar. They won't understand why you don't bring enough biscuits. And for those of you who are listening at home, that was an inside joke. Anyway,
the horse is down there.
Hallelujah. But listen, that's what's really great about this story, is it is family relationships at its best, and at the same time, we could say, look. One of the grand things about Jesus is he was very focused on what his relationship with God was, and people weren't going to understand that. And so the message for us this morning is if you change the way you think, if you change the way you do business, people might not understand. But it doesn't mean that relationship that you're working on is invalid. Yes, I got into trouble for doing what I did. But what I found out later, the message that it sent to my parents was that we have a child here who's creative, who's independent, and we have to pay attention to that. I know that Luke sat here and said, Jesus went back and was obedient. I don't know what that means in those days. But I also know that Mary kept it in her heart. And so when the ministry started, she understood exactly where her son was coming from. So the question for you today on the second Sunday of Christmas, is your relationship such with God that it is indeed your first priority? That indeed it is so deep that it actually could change the way you think, that it could change the way you do business, and the folks around you won't understand it. God bless you.